Hello, welcome to the weekly broadcast of Christian Temple. For the next 30 minutes, let our pastor, Brother Rob Coons, bring us the uncompromised Word of God. And let us, with the saints of God, enter into a service already in progress.
And I said, no, what the Bible says is that the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to another. And I said, you have to learn to rend the veil when it's speaking to a man or speaking to a son of God or speaking to the natural world and not speaking to the spiritual world. I said, there is some veils that we need to learn to differentiate in between, that this word does not contradict itself. And this is why there's so many controversies, brothers and sisters, in revelational teachings, because we have learned to rend the veil between the spirit world and the natural world, and we instruct and we teach and tutor you to walk in the spirit, to speak those things that are spiritual, to meditate on the things that are spiritual, and do not let your confession and your profession be of one of a man or natural. If you confess death, and you continually to confess death, then you are of death. If you continually confess the things of the feelings of your mortal body, if you confess sickness and confess pain, confess agony, and all of the things that come, the afflictions to that outer garment of iniquity, then that is what you are of. You understand that? And we are nowhere in the scriptures or in the word to yield our members over to that and our thoughts over to that. Let the weak say that they are strong, brothers and sisters. And the thing is when you confess weakness, then you are weak. But when you confess strength in the Lord Jesus Christ by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, at that point of time is when then you'll walk above it. You're speaking those things that are not as if they were. And when you're sick within your body and you keep confessing sickness, it will stay with you and it will kill you. But when you confess that Jesus Christ, your God, your Savior, your salvation, your healer, your redeemer, your deliverer, has set you free from that thing, and the people look at you and say, well, you're a liar. Say, no, Satan is the liar, and he's the father of all lies, and you're observing lying vanities. And you may see sickness or affliction within my flesh, but I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am whole. Amen. I am healed by what he done. And you keep confessing and walking in that, and you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ will bring that thing to a wit or to a manifestation within physical flesh, and you will see that element leave and that thing go. I don't care what it is. He could restore arms and limbs, restore eyes. He could restore anything. I'm telling you, because he is the creator of all. All things were created by him and through him. And you say, you really believe he can do that? And I say, yea and amen. And the only reason that you won't see it happen is because of your unbelief. Nothing is impossible in Christ Jesus. The Bible said that all things are possible in him. And the impossible things are made possible in him. Amen. And I believe that. Brothers and sisters, you may see me stumble and stagger around, but it doesn't change the fact of the Word of God. And it's thus saith the Lord, and it's yea and amen. And I believe that, and that's the way my confession wants to be. And as I'm bringing and pressing into the things of God and the kingdom of God, as we begin to rend dimensional barriers, I say that this is all done in Christ, and I'm perfected before him without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. There ain't no devil of hell. There ain't no principality. There's no power that could touch me or lay its hand on me or lay anything to the charge of God's elect. And that is my confession, the way I speak. And when we rend the veil over and we find that this outer garment of iniquity, this whole physical part that's walking, it's the light being veiled within that darkness. I'm trying to bring the light of this inner quickening of Christ, the light of all the world. Amen. And I'm trying to bring it to shine forth within this garment, this fallen image of iniquity that God uses to speak through and to have his way and have his being in this present day and hour. So many times have I said, just talking with you a little bit this morning before we read the scriptures, I've said so many times, the dispute is over the body. The demonic influences and spirits of evil are looking for a place to manifest themselves. These spirits are literally powerless to the human body, brothers and sisters, until it could find one to manifest in. Again, as I've said so often times, I've said Satan cannot kill, steal, and destroy anybody or anything until he manifests himself within a willing vessel. This is why, again, that we are to be carnally minded is death. and the carnal mind again being taken into captivity at Satan's will. When we're in the carnal mind and the carnal realms and thinking of the natural things all the time, it's just an open door, brothers and sisters, when you're carnal minded, for Satan to move into and to start influencing your thoughts and your things. He is the accuser of the brethren. And when your thoughts are continually accusing, you've opened up that door to the accuser, which is Satan, and he's going to be there accusing and accusing. Many times we take scriptures of such and we take it to the way we deal with people. But brothers and sisters, the Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves that Satan was there also. And I've said this time and time again. If you are the only individual that shows up for church and you are sitting within the church realms in the church pew all by yourself, the Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves that the devil's there also. And I'm telling you, he is there every time. We always want to sit and say, who are the spots and blemishes in the feast of charity? That is that outer garment of iniquity, brothers and sisters, in its first birth, in the form of its first birth. Now, when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by being infilled with the Holy Ghost, we know that we've buried that man in a watery grave of baptism in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That man is done away with. He no longer lives. You are no longer accountable to the deeds of that first birth of that natural man, because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has washed you and cleansed you and put him as far as the east is from the west. But now we step into the soul realm, and it's the saving of the soul. The Bible says that the summer has ended and the harvest has been taken in. But has that soul been saved? As we roll down around to this end times, brothers and sisters, and we think of the saving of the soul, and we know the soul realm having to be right there running within what we would say the physical realm and within the second heaven. We do know that there's a first and second and third heaven. The third heaven showing the spirit world, the second heaven showing physical realm of physical life where the soul realm runs, and the blood. And we find beast life there. We find the red dragon there. And we find that there was a place prepared for the woman, and there was a place prepared for her as this Satan, as this devil himself, this red dragon, waiting there to devour the child just as soon as it's born. But a place being prepared for the woman. That place is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think when we go into the scriptures to comprehend and understand that this happened to be a place there in Egypt. And we find that when we look into the physical realm, we find the Lord Jesus Christ. We found that when he was born, that we find this Herod there waiting and started to killing all of the first birth. But we found a place prepared by the grace of God. We say the woman being typical. Typical sense there, we find the Virgin Mary that brought forth this child in a place prepared for her, and went off over into Egypt of a place until this Herod, we find, was removed and taken out of the way, that he could come back and be about the Father's business. Amen. So when we look at that into one dimension of thought, and then we run it over into what we would say into a life application of this present day and hour, when we find that this Christ child being within, we find that this Virgin Mary, we say, or we find this bride of the Lord Jesus Christ made without spot, wrinkle, and blemish because of the works of Christ at Calvary, and we present this thing unto the Christ, that inner quickening, we find to enter into that secret place, into that marriage chamber of the Most High God, which we all ever talk so often about. But we enter into this relationship and have this relationship and the infilling of that seed of Christ, that seed that remaineth within us, why we cannot sin, because sin is that sting of death, brothers and sisters. So we find that this seed of this Holy Spirit, we find of this Holy Ghost, have been implanted into this bride perspective, the flesh being the weaker vessel, showing that outer garment of iniquity in the beast realm. So we find again the darkness and the light being veiled within the darkness, the seed of life going back in, sealed in that nothing could touch. Looking at the allegorics in the natural realm, when a man and woman go into the marriage relationship, and even to the fact that when the blood seed enters into the womb of the woman and that seed goes and finds its way into this egg, that thing is sealed up. After this thing seals up, nothing else. Even if the woman, not making allowance for willful sin, but if the woman goes into frolic and goes into unfaithfulness, and the seed is still sealed up there. The woman frolic and do anything, but it's still the seed of that giver. So what we find then is that we have received this seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost. This thing has come into this womb of our heart, and this thing has been sealed up. No devil of hell, nothing can touch you or lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Amen. So then we find that this sealing in that has taken place is such a beautiful, wonderful thing, but we find that this seed and this life has got to grow by Christ being formed within us. So we find a place prepared by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say Egypt, shown that wilderness realm. We find that man many times wandering around in a wilderness for 40 years, brothers and sisters, and some never come out of it. Some die in the wilderness, if you understand what I'm saying. So we find there that when we look over into Egypt, we find them coming out of Egypt across the Red Sea, showing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, comes into a wilderness wandering there, but they still had to cross over into Canaan. This is where we find when we think of many religious people. We find many religious people come to an experience and they come to understanding Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and they come to somewhat of an experience, or what we could say is a reflecting of the things of God. There's most definite difference between one that reflects the things of God and one that projects the things of God. As I've said so many times, a reflector is something like you take a mirror as a reflector and you hold it out in the sun and you look into the mirror, it'll burn your eyes out. And there's many people that reflect God in such a way they look like bright lights, but when that light of that day star sets, there's no light to project there. But we as the sons of God have that light dwelling within us. And when we find on the Mount of Transfiguration, when this rending of this veil, we find the Lord Jesus Christ that outshined the noonday sun there on this Mount of Transfiguration there. So we find that we have that same Spirit of Christ dwelling within us that also dwelled within the Lord Jesus Christ. And we found that this mind is dwelling within us that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Brothers and sisters, He has given us the Holy Ghost that we would have the power to be the sons of God. Yea and amen. So we are now the sons of God this morning. But as we speak about this and we're rending some thoughts and veils here, we think of Mary, we're understanding the virgin birth, we find a place fleeing over into Egypt there, and we find that as they go there, a place to protect this child and this life. So we find that the grace there, being protective to the flesh, because if you stood for the deeds of your flesh, you would be like it was, because God's the same today, yesterday, and forever, and you would find yourself as being stoned to death or being put out or killed because of the wretchedness of the first birth. As even Brother Paul himself said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" But we thank be to God that He has delivered us from this bondage and body of death. And O death, where is thy sting, and grave, where is thy victory? We found that we are overcomers and more than conquerors in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus had done for us. And He sent back the Holy Ghost, the power, brothers and sisters, that we are the sons of God. So by being filled with the Holy Ghost and this Spirit of God, this is that Christ dwelling within us, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And as we look as this child matures, and then we find that this woman being saved in childbearing, we find that the woman being saved to bring forth this child, we find that you in your physical flesh being spared and being saved in childbearing or in raising up this child, that Christ could be formed within you. And as this Christ forms up within you, as it takes, and we say, Paul says, "I show you a mystery, when the man and woman marry, that they become one in the flesh." So we find that this inner quickening of the Christ married to the outer garment of iniquity, showing that bride perspective part and being married and her made pure. By that, again, we go to the Old Testament, we find Hosea commanded to go marry the harlot. We come over into the New Testament. We find that this virgin being made by works of the Lord Jesus Christ and the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost to conceive the child. And we bring it into this present day and hour. And this woman is not pure without spot, wrinkle, and blemish by our works, but it's by His works of what the Lord Jesus Christ done, made her pure. Through predestination, through the foreknowledge of God, her being pure. And when she was made pure, made to enter into that chamber, enter into that place, and we find that this relationship takes place. When He said to the one, He said, "I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me," is because they never entered into that secret place. Amen. They never had that knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've once said in times past, I said, you know, many people, if you ask them, "Do you know who the President of the United States is?" One would say, "Well, it's George Bush." But if we went to him, does he know you? So the thing is everybody knows Jesus. But does Jesus know everybody? Have you entered into that place of that relationship? And the only way you can do that is if you go back to the Old Testament types, you'll find that there was a ritual that was performed for the woman to go through a ritual approximately a year before they could enter into that chamber with the king. And we found that this has taken place by the shedding of blood by the Lord Jesus Christ and has made us pure, that we could come in and whole without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. And we enter in, we receive receive that seed of life. And we receive this infilling of the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. And then we bring this thing alive within to manifest, to rule, and to reign in this day and hour that we can have, that others could have this life. I've said so oftentimes, again, this life that we're now living within this flesh, that we live by faith in the Son of God. There is nothing, brothers and sisters, that we cannot do in Christ. We have to walk as overcomers. We have to carry that testimony. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews. We'll read a little bit here this morning. And possibly, if the Lord allows, possibly can maybe expound on some things. I'm not sure exactly where I wanted to read. I just felt impressed to read over here in Hebrews. I'm opened up right over around the first, second chapter. Why don't we go here to the third chapter. Again, Hebrews chapter 3 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in that day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into the rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." If the Lord allows, maybe we could expand on a few things. That very last scripture is very important, of taking faith in these things. Many times we become people that have heard the Word of God. You know, we know that faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. So we know that this faith is being built and this faith is coming by hearing of the Word. So then we think that because we've heard the Word that we have faith. But then the Lord Jesus expressed again that there was some that heard, but they didn't hear. Though you have ears to hear, but you do not hear. Though you have eyes to see, you do not see. So we find that there's one thing that is going to be the strength of our salvation, the strength of our walk with Christ, and it's going to be faith. And without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot know God. Without faith, we cannot walk with God. Because when we're walking in the Spirit, the thing that brought us into that Spirit was faith and believing and trusting. And as we see an exhortation come forth here, looking back at the people of Moses' time, the people that seen the great hand of God and the great move of God. You take these people where they were coming against Moses as they come out of Egypt, and he leads them down here up against this Red Sea. They came against him. What have you done? Led us out here to be slaughtered? Have you led us out here to be killed? You know what? We would have been better off to stay in bondage there within Egypt. We would have been better off to stay in bondage over there as what we've done and come in. You know, I, as a pastor, I'm sad to say I've heard that same spirit speak forth out of people that would confess faith. You know, wouldn't I better off? I've heard people say, man, I was better off when I was in the world. I was better off. I had the women. I was better off. I've had everything the world's got to offer. I was better off. Everything was going fine. But I come to this revelation of Jesus Christ. I come into knowing Him. And now all of a sudden this travail and this warfare and all of these things are happening to me. Were you better off? See, we find, brothers and sisters, that the things, when we look to the allegorics of the old world, are with the things and these children that come out of Egypt, we find that it's the same spirits, brothers and sisters. Those things were there as a shadow. It's the same God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And we find that the same things that these elders, that we might say, these same people, the same things that they gave place to that caused thousands of them to vanish within the wilderness where the ground opened up and swallowed them up, we find the very same spirits present in this day and hour. And it's the same thing that's happening. People in this day and hour, they're out there and they get into murmuring and complaining against the things of God and against God and the move of God and the power of God, and they're swallowed up in unbelief. They're swallowed up by the things of this world. Brothers and sisters, we can't have our eyes on lying vanities. You know, there's some fine lines when you get between works and faith. You see, without faith, brothers and sisters, we cannot please God. And if we don't have works, brothers and sisters, we can't have faith. Works perfects this faith. So we find that we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith, but then we find that we cannot have faith unless there's some works there. So we find some real rending of some veils, very, very finite, for lack of expression. They're so close, like the Word of God says, it takes that sword of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, to divide the bones from the marrow. And the thing is this is how close that is. But then yet, when you rend those things apart, they're as far as the east is from the west. But it's only by the mind of Christ and revelation that we can comprehend and perceive these things of such. So we're in a day and hour, brothers and sisters, and we look into the religious realms. We find a little story over, and we've shared with you so oftentimes, trying to bring you into present day truth or a revelation of the Lord that you can understand that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and not trample the blood of Jesus under feet. But we found that these people see the salvation of our Lord. We find the people that are led out of captivity with Moses, and they see this Red Sea part, and we see the captors or the ones that are pursuing the adversary after them, and we see this thing that they found salvation in and found grace in, that they found to get away from, had swallowed them up and took away their adversary. We find, brothers and sisters, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that the very one that offers life to us, the one that gives us life and takes us out and cleanses and makes us whole, it's that one and same very Word that we're using here. He is the Word, and this Word that we're preaching out is the same one that's putting others to death, that are swallowed up, and they're swallowed up in the world and the things, but this is that Word, brothers and sisters, that pursues them and that kills them and destroys them. They're going to stand every jot and every tittle of this Word. So we find that grace being given to one, and we find death being given to another. We find life and we find death. We find that there's twins born each and every time. Amen. We find that there's going to be one that has the father, which is the devil. We're going to have another one which has his father, which is God, and being part of that many membered brotherhood, brothers and sisters, where Christ had made that possible by what He has done. So as we look into the present day and hour, we find many people that have seen the salvation of the Lord in the perspective. They understood, they perceived, and they took and partakers of, and they've taken by and come through this Red Sea or come through this blood, brothers and sisters. But we have to come across into Canaan land. We've got to make it all the way across, because the victory wasn't being there in the wilderness for 40 years, even though they witnessed the power of God. They saw the rock smitten and they saw life coming forth out of this rock, being typical of the Lord Jesus Christ. They find this life going forth and nurturing them and giving them strength. They saw that their clothing and their shoes never even wore out while they was out there within the desert. They saw the hand of God move in so many ways as Moses went up on the mountain and he came down to the people and reproved and rebuked them. And they saw the hand of the Lord all through it. In this day and hour, brothers and sisters, the people that are being swallowed up in the wilderness, the people that are dying and losing their life in the world because the cares of the world, the love of the world, and the lust of the world swallows them up, we can't deny the fact they haven't seen the power of God. We can't, but the Bible says they have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. When you confess within your flesh, when you confess within human birth, when you confess weakness, then you are confessing the things of the flesh and you are of the flesh. Nowhere does a son of God yield his members over to the things of the world or the things of the flesh. We never confess Satan strong. Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. It doesn't matter what the lying vanities are saying. It doesn't matter what reports the doctors are giving. It doesn't matter what the people of this world and the religious leaders of this world. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. His hand is not short. He has never forsaken us. We're not waiting on Him to come back for us. We're not teaching some great rapture that's coming in the future for Him to come back and to get us out of this mess and do all this. He has already taken us out. We're already dwelling in heavenly places. We are already eternal in the heavenlies. We've passed from death unto life. We are conquerors in Christ. You know, don't let your confession be otherwise. You know, I talk to people that profess Christianity, I'll say, all throughout the world, and everything's futuristic. You know, boy, this one glad day, we even sing some of the songs that even cross my spirit because we're always making it futuristic. I like songs about now, that He is our forever present now. He is our comforter now. He is the Prince of Peace now. He is our God, our salvation now. He is our deliverer now. He is our healer now. I'm not waiting on something, brothers and sisters. You know, when you say, but Brother Rob, the Bible says, you know, that the eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll, and there He is. He's going to appear. When He ascended off the Mount of Olivet and He said, why do you gaze here? He's going to come back in like manner. And I say, yea and amen, but we were speaking of differentiating in dimensions. And yes, He's going to come back in that body, and He's going to come back to the Jews, the very one that denied Him. He's going to come back and they're going to see Him because they are not Spirit-led. They are not walking in the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, and this is why the judgment's going to come the way it's going to come to that time, to the world. And the judgment's going to come, and the people of America are natural Jews in state of mind and state of thought. No, they're not natural to the thing of by blood order, by the way they're birthed, but it's the same state of mind of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ in this present day and hour. They're crucifying Him afresh. They're trampling the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under feet. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus is a holy thing, and we do not trample it under our feet in willful sin and continue on and confess that we are weak and confess that we cannot overcome, confess that we cannot come out of the world. We have come out of the world. We are a separate people. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, brothers and sisters. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. We have been endued with power from God. Amen. We have been changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, brothers and sisters. We have been caught away into heavenly places. And what you see in the flesh is the lying vanities. And it's does not make excuses for the motions and the deeds of the flesh. We are infilled with the Holy Ghost and the power to bring that fleshly man under subjection to the inner quickening of Christ. As again, as I said, if Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one. I'm going to bring this fleshly man into oneness with the inner quickening of Christ through the marriage. And it's no longer a mystery, brothers and sisters, because the deeds and the actions and the motions and the motives and everything that I'm going to do is going to be by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is a spirit of holiness, the spirit of power, the spirit of praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, and all power and honor goes unto Him. Amen. And I'm going to walk as an overcomer, and I'm not going to walk by sight. I'm going to walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by the things of the sight of this world, but it's going to be by faith. It's going to be by faith in Him. And I'm going to walk by that and believe in that. It doesn't matter what the devil throws. It doesn't matter of the lies of the devil. We overcome them. We overcome them by the words of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb, brothers and sisters.